Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time with you. And Lord, we thank you for these beautiful, warm days that you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for killing this old self and bringing alive Jesus. And Father, I know it's a struggle. It has been with me, and I know it has been with everybody else, Lord. But it doesn't need to be. And I thank you, Father, that tonight we're going to find out what we have to do in order to get into that Jesus life and out of that old self life. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of us. Lord, I'm going to pray this prayer. I've been wanting to pray it all day. For this cause, we bow our knees to the Father, from whomever family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, that we might be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, to the end that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled to all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and after all the evers. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God forevermore. We thank you tonight, Lord, that you're going to that your glory. We want to see you reveal your glory in this place, Father, tonight, in this fellowship, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for getting everybody excited about Jesus, because Jesus is the reason. And we praise you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit that guides us and leads us and teaches us and shows us, Lord, and cleanses us from all this unrighteousness that we've carried around and drug around with us all these many years. And we praise you, Father, that we're coming out the other side as overcomers in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Does anybody believe that out there? Glory be to God forevermore. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. All right. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Now, has anybody got a prayer request?
Got me excited.
Is that Malcolm? Yeah, Malcolm, you get excited, brother. Up there in the frozen tundra.
Oh, no, it's sunny. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. All right, brother. We love you anyway. All right. Anybody out there got a prayer request? I'm telling you something tonight. God's going to answer whatever it is. Don't make no, never mind what it is. God's going to answer it if everybody in here believe. Anybody like to believe? I like to believe, because I like to see these testimonies coming forth. Don't y'all? Look out, Geneva. Come on, girl, with that prayer request, because God's going to answer it.
Amen, brother. Well, I actually have a testimony, and then I have a prayer request, but thank you, Jesus, that he blessed me with that job, and they called me on Friday and offered it to me, and I didn't know it. Yeah, I didn't know it, but I guess I was competing against other social workers, and I was like, oh, gosh, and then I was like, no, Lord, if it's your will, it'll be done, so I'm not going to worry about it, and then they called me on Friday, and I was so thankful, so I was like, Lord, I've produced fruit in my other job, so now it's time to me and you grow a garden at this other job. So produce some more fruit. But anyways, I'm really thankful. And also, too, another praise is Morgan has an interview with he has an interview for to be an electrician for the city of Northport on Thursday. So I do feel that me and Morgan have been really thankful for the jobs that we have, and we've given it our best go. And I think the Lord's just blessing us with other things. And I really do feel that ever since I've been listening to this ministry and doing the outreach, that God has really been blessing us. And, you know, when you give time to the Lord and when you pour into the Lord, pours right back into you. So I'm thankful, but also want to ask for a prayer because all day at work today, I was having like a fever and I could feel it. And I don't get sick very often. And that's only because of the Lord. And I don't claim that. But I was feeling it all day. I was rebuking it, you know, and I know I work at a hospital and everyone's always asking, did you get the vaccine? Did you get the vaccine? No, because thank God the Lord's taking care of me and I don't need it. But and I walk by faith and I believe that. And anyways, all day today, I was feeling like cold sweats and just all kinds of things. And I, you know, but I'm not going to receive it. And I thank God that he is taking care of me and that I'm healed, because by his stripes, you were healed. So anyways, prayer that God blesses me with the grace to continue in believing and thanking him, just to thank him. That's it. I think you're muted, Brother Michael.
Well, y'all just missed it. Glory to God, it was good. Let's see. Y'all remember the story about John G. Lake when he handled the bubonic plague for the experts out there to see? And he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put my hand on the microscope. You put some live bubonic plague in snot or spit or whatever you want to in my hand, and you're going to see what happens. And they saw what happened, and they said, what is that? He said, friends, that is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. And it works if you just believe. And that's what we do. We're believers, and bless God, in the name of Jesus, I command these symptoms off of Geneva to go fly off of her right now in Jesus' name at light speed. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that she don't have to worry about nothing because she's covered by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing her in Jesus' name. And she's going to walk and talk the glory of God wherever she works in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that Morgan, if his job is open for him, Lord, and you want him to have it, he's got it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Morgan in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? I don't know if y'all could tell it or not, but I'm getting fired up for some reason. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody got a prayer request? I'm telling you, there's all kinds of faith in here tonight. Yeah, Angelica. Oh, I can't see yours. Julie, you've got a real light over there, and that dadgum hand gets right there in it. And it's hard for me to see it. I apologize. Sometimes you just got to speak up. Go ahead.
I'll let Julie go. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. Sorry, you couldn't see my hand.
That's all right. Yeah, you do like that, and I can.
Okay. Well, I wanted to be polite, right? Okay.
I know.
Geneva, when do you finish at the hospital and start the other job?
So I finish on the 16th, and then I get a week off, and then I start the other job on 26th.
Okay.
It'll be hospice. So I know that's also an opportunity for the Lord to bless me with people with end of life. Yeah. And I believe strongly that God's gonna use me.
Yeah. So. Well, he must have a really awesome reason and plan.
Oh, man,
to move you from one phase into another.
Right. Amen. I believe. Thank you.
Yeah. I have a prayer request. My water man, Chris, has been just an awesome blessing for me. He's been lugging up my water for 15 years since I've lived here. And we get to chit chat, you know, briefly when he's here, but God has really saved him. And he told me his testimony years ago about God saving him and different things and stuff, but he's really getting close to Jesus. And he is thirsting. You know, you're hungering and thirsting for Jesus. And he's like, yeah, God's really working there. So I pray, if you would all just pray with me. He's got an issue that I want to pray about. Father, thank you for Chris. Thank you, Lord, bringing him into my life and the fellowship we have, you know, every few weeks that we get to, you know, see each other and chat and catch up on things and pray. And Lord, I bless him in Jesus' name. Lord, we prayed yesterday that he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe he's already got the Holy Spirit, but Lord, I believe in him to get filled up and the gifts and all the good things you have for him, Lord. He's going to walk in he's going to walk in your glory, Lord. You're going to show him even greater, wonderful, more revelations of who you are to him and who he is in you. And I pray your blessing and protection on his life, God, and his business, his family. And Lord, you know the issue that he has put before you has been bothering him. And you gave him that short little dream the other morning that was weighing on his mind. He woke up and just the first thing he was thinking of, Lord, was the situation with this insurance deal in the courts. And he went back to sleep and he had this little dream that you were standing behind the judge and you made eye contact with him, Lord. And he just had a knowing that you're going to take care of it. So I thank you, Father, for what you showed Chris, how you're going to take care of it. I thank you, Lord, that you just remove all of that doubt, worry, anxiety, and fear about the whole thing, that you're going to show great favor with Chris here. And he's going to have another awesome testimony at you working in his life. I pray your blessing on his family, God, and those who have, where there's division there, Lord, I pray for unity and healing. And you know the details there, Father. And I just pray the whole family, God, come into the knowledge of the truth of what the gospel is, what the true salvation is in Christ Jesus, and everything that they have been given, Lord, through the redemption of Christ. And just pray household salvation over Chris and his family. And thank you, Lord. I'm anxious and excited to hear what happens, Father, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Chris. Lord, we lift him up to you. And I ask, Lord, that when he asks you to give him whatever it is that he wants, Lord, like the filling of the Holy Spirit, that the glory of God would flow through him like a rain, Lord, and fill him up with your power and make a mighty man of God out of him, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for Chris in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. I believe it, Lord. I believe along with Julie that the boy's going to be an evangelist wherever he goes to put people's water in. He's not only going to give them the true water, he's going to give them the true water, the word of God, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for washing people's minds with Chris's word that he gives them, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Boy, we're going to hear some testimony from that young man. Thank you, Lord. That living water, that's right. Glory to God. Go ahead, Angelica.
All right. I just wanted to, I felt led to pray for Geneva, but I was wondering what was the position that you have now?
Right now, I'm a case manager at the hospital, social worker, case manager, whatever you want to call it. I do discharge planning, so I kind of help when, like these elderly people, and then also work with babies that are in the NICU. I help with like get them home health or get them to like a rehabilitation center, or just get them back home. So right. That's what I do right now.
I meant to say your new position.
Oh, sorry. My new position, it's hospice. So just like end of life care where, families are, I guess, coming to like a difficult decision of, you know, what they're going to need to do for their family member as they slowly pass away.
I see. So it's kind of like you're a case manager, but for end of life.
Right, right.
Okay. So you're just kind of directing their path to maybe doctors and specialists and medicines and all that stuff. Okay.
Gotcha. Right. Yeah. They said it's going to be a lot of like hand holding, which I was kind of interested by that, but they said it's just going to be a lot of like comforting the families and being there with them. So I was like, it's a great time for the Lord to use me to speak up and let them know about him.
Yes, Lord. Well, Lord, I just thank you so much for Geneva and this job, Father God. And I just thank you for her willingness, Father God, to just be put in this position, Father God. Lord, I just pray that you prepare her heart, Father God, that you make her face as flint, Father God, and guard her heart, Father God, from sorrow, Father God, or grief, Father God, that would try to come upon her, Father God, from the loss of life, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that you would just supernaturally lead her to those that are yours, Father God, those that are waiting to hear from you, Father God. And I loose the angels to her facility, Father God. And Lord, I ask that they begin to prepare the way, Father God, and remove the stumbling blocks, Lord God. I pray that you give her the grace to speak freely about Jesus and perhaps even share some of the materials if led to, Father. I ask for wisdom, Father God, and I ask, Father God, that you protect her roundabout, Father God. We bind all the demonic forces there. We bind the spirits of death, Father God, and just lead her daily, Father God, how to do warfare on behalf of those residents, Father God, who are more than likely drugged up all the time, Lord. And Lord, so I pray that you just show the hearts of these people to Geneva, and she know how to pray, Father God, and fight for their behalf, Father God, that they can receive your word and be received into heaven ultimately, Father God. So I just thank you for great favor. And Lord, we just we thank you for wisdom, and we just thank you, Father God, that for sending her to water, to plant and water the seed, Father God, and you give the increase, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Angelica. It's a beautiful prayer. I believe it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I also want to pray for a young man named Bryce. My sister, she has a friend that her son, I don't know, he's probably 10 or something like, or maybe even younger. I don't know him too well. I mean, I haven't met them, but I don't know him too well. And she said that he hasn't slept in the past 4 days. And I'm just assuming that he probably saw something. He probably opened his eye gates to something that should have, that he probably shouldn't have seen. And, perhaps a spirit of fear. I think from what she was saying is he's waking up, but he's sleepwalking. He doesn't know he's doing it. And he's not sleeping. And so he's just kind of up all night and whatever. I don't know. But so I just want to pray for that. And I don't know if she's supposed to call me here in a bit. I don't know if she will, but for God to give me wisdom, because I'm just kind of a straightforward thing, like, you know, but when dealing with children, I just want the Lord's wisdom. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for Bryce, Father God. I lift him up, and I lift up Darlene, Father God. And Lord, I know my sister has been a witness, Father God, here lately since you called her into your kingdom. And she doesn't know you, Father God, but she's stepping out in faith because she's asking for prayer, Lord. So I pray that you honor that faith, Father God, however little, Father God, even that mustard seed of faith, Father, that you deliver her son from a spirit of fear or any demonic spirit, Father God, that would have entered in, Father God, through his eye gates, ear gates, whatever, Father God. We bind this demonic force, Father God, causing him to sleepwalk or causing him to be up all night, Father God, any spirits of just tormenting spirits, and we bind those demonic forces, Father God, and we command them to cease and desist in the name of Jesus, Father. And I ask that this would be a witness to Darlene, Father God, that that the enemy is real, Father God, and that you would use it to draw her closer to you and to be just grateful, Father God. So I just thank you for that, Father, that it is done in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And we declare and decree that Bryce is going to get a full night's sleep tonight and be rested in the morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And we believe what Angelica prayed as well, Lord, that he is free from this in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for your spirit going through this family in spirit of repentance, Father, in Jesus' name. Bring them in, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Anybody else? I am awaiting an excited anticipation. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a little bit what's happening with a friend, Torbjorn, that we prayed for, you know, about a week, 10 days ago or something like that, and also ask for, you know, continued prayer for him. He had, well, I thought it was a stroke, but I talked to his wife today and she said, no, it wasn't a stroke, but I don't know the difference and so on, but, you know, some blood vessel in the brain had burst anyway. That's all I know. They had taken him to a hospital that is maybe 3-4 hours drive away from here where they did the surgery and everything. And now they brought him back here nearby. It's, I guess, maybe 10 minutes by car from where I live. But nobody's allowed to visit him, not even his wife, because of COVID. So, but when she will call, he recognizes her, but he still doesn't know who he is. He's not asking for any of the people that he know. And he's very confused as to what is happening. So his memory is very affected. But and they thought it would only be that his, you know, would be a balance thing, and it would have to work on rehab and everything to get back to, you know, because that part of the brain, that's where this blood vessel ruptured. But apparently it's affecting his memory also. And so, yeah, by the way, after we prayed, the next day after, I think it was the next day, because he was on, I don't know, we call it a respirator. I don't know what it's called in English. It might be the same, but that helps you to breathe. He was on that machine until we prayed. And the next thing I hear after we prayed, you know, he was off the machine to breathe on his own. So still some more work to do there for the Lord. But it would be great if that's what I'm praying and hoping for, that he will, he and his wife, and of course other family members, it will be a miracle, and they will have a hard time explaining it in any, like, oh, we did this and that, and that's what helped. They, you know, for miraculous when it happens. And I told the wife that we were praying. She was very grateful for that, even though she's not a believer, but I believe she will be. And I believe my friend Torbjorn will be also when he's out of this, and then he'll be fully restored. So that's pretty much where it's at right now. So if you guys would pray, and if you can pray, Michael, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, what's his name? I forget.
Torbjorn. Torbjorn.
Forbjorn?
Tor, like almost. It's actually like Thor, but we don't. Thor, you know, the god Thor, the Norse god.
Oh, yeah, Bjorn. Yeah, okay.
And Bjorn. Bjorn as in Bjorn Borg, if you remember.
Thor Borg.
So Torbjorn.
Okay. Lord, we just lift up what Mike said, that man's name, and I thank you, Father, that you're doing this mighty work in him right now, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you are continually bringing him along. And we thank you, Father, that tonight is another miracle in this guy's name, in this guy's body, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that in the morning he's going to hear another miracle that happened, because we believe, Lord. We just believe that you're going to bring his family into you, Lord, and they're going to believe that there is a God in heaven that cares for them and loves them. And we thank you for it, Father. Grant repentance to the whole family, Lord, and when this thing is completely over, they'll be on their knees repenting and praising you, Father, for this miracle in their life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We believe, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. We're looking for the great report, Lord.
Amen. Can I pray?
Yes, ma'am, you certainly may.
Thank you, Father God, for this man, Father God, and I just thank you, Father God, for restoration of his memory, Father God. And Lord, I just loose the angels right now to go into his room. We bind up the forces of darkness, the demonic spirits of death, premature death, memory loss, trauma, Father God, sickness, disease, infirmity. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We command you to loose this man in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, Father God, that his tongue is loose, his mind is loosed, Father God. Yep. We bind any confusion, Father God. We bind, Lord God, any nefarious intentions, Father God, from any of the workers, Father God. Lord, we ask for your mercy and your grace upon this family, Father God. Lord, I know what it's like to have a loved one in the COVID and no one can visit, Father God. Lord, I know this displeases you, Father God, because these people need love and prayer, Father God, and touch, Lord. And I just ask you, Father God, to change this situation, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, and just glorify yourself, Father God, that the people could know, Father God, this is impossible. This is impossible. So I just thank you, Father God. His tongue is loose, his mind is loose, and his body is loose, Father God, from any paralysis or anything, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for just your mighty works and your glory, Father God. Just thank you, Father God, that he's healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. We believe it, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. All right, David, go ahead, brother. Ain't nothing too hard for God, is it?
There was an interesting situation that happened Sunday night. And I really don't know what happened. Well, Sunday night, me and my wife had a pretty good prayer before bed. And she went to sleep right away. But all of a sudden, I had a fear come over me as if I was just about to see Satan face to face. I kept praying it down all night, and it's been that fear kept me up all night. And the next day at work, I had a really rough day. I didn't know what happened, and I don't know what it could be. I really don't. So, I mean, if anyone experienced that and knows what it could be and whatnot, but I would really love prayers about that.
Okay. All right. I can tell you what happened to me one time. That's been many years ago. But I have a shop in my yard next to my house. And about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I was praying and I was walking out toward the shop. And about halfway there, fear gripped me and it almost choked the life out of me. I mean, it was fear like I've never experienced before. And it was Satan. I knew who it was at the time. And that fear was so pronounced on top of me, David. The only thing that I could get out was Jesus. And I finally squeaked out Jesus. And when I squeaked out Jesus, it went. And I never had that problem again. So all we do is just rebuke it when it comes on. Because that's all it is. It's just an attack from Satan to try to get you steered away from the Lord. That's all it is. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command that fear off of David. We command you, you spirit of fear, to go right now in Jesus' mighty name. You don't have any right there. And then bless God, by the blood of Jesus, you can't stay. And I command complete freedom from this fear on David. And Lord, I thank you for placing great and bold faith in David to believe that he has the right and authority, as it says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. He has the authority over all the power of the enemy in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that he is delivered, set free from this evil spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for David. It's done, David. Everybody say it. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. It's done, David. Amen, brother. All right, Julie, go ahead.
I've had some encounters with those spirits myself, and it is kind of paralyzing, and I can tell you from experience, David, it's the Lord, the Lord is in you, and he wants to teach us how to fight. And we have that authority. Nothing will move us. And there were times I had it in my home. It would just come on me. I felt it out in public. Sometimes I just felt just creepiness all around me. There was one time I was, I hadn't been with this ministry very long. I was out for a walk and I was climbing up a pretty steep hill, trying to get some cardio going and everything. It was pretty steep incline, and got up to the top and was trying to catch my breath. And all of a sudden I felt like something was closing in on my windpipe. I just could not catch my breath. It just was like, I thought I was going to die. And I just kept saying, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I rebuke you. Get off of me, until it finally left. And then it left. And then I just felt like, what was that? You know, we just don't know what we're going to be subjected to. But it was a trial for me, you know, you feel like I was completely out of control. I don't have allergies. I don't have anything like that. But this thing was on me for probably about at least 30 seconds, trying to get me in fear because like I couldn't breathe, you know, so it happens. But it's, praise God, we have authority over everything, all the power of him. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Well, I have a prayer request, but I'd like to speak about that situation with David as well, because I remember when the first time I experienced that was I was back in the Baptist tradition, I guess you might say, and I was feeling a bit isolated in my seeking of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and trying to pursue God in a little bit deeper way than what was available in that environment. And I remember going to work one day, and this it was this major attack of fear and confusion of my mind, and it took me through a path where at the end of it, I was so destroyed inside. I was so shattered, and I was fearful. And I remember the last thoughts that I was having was that maybe I'm deceived and I'm the Antichrist, you know, like as if I knew anything about that at that time. But I was so fearfully shattered and hopeless. And over that period of time, I had people coming up to me at work and I couldn't even witness to them. I couldn't say a thing. And there was, I remember a lady, a secretary or something there at work. She was obviously having some struggles at her home, and she came up and asked me something and wanted to talk about it or something. I just said, I'm really sorry. I can't talk to you right now. I was literally crying out for help. About 1 or 2 o'clock in the day, I felt so isolated and so attacked. I can't really explain too much, but I called up my pastor And I started speaking these things to him and describing what I was going through. And knowing what I know now, what I was saying to him was completely foreign to him. But he did, I believe, the only thing that he could do at that time, and he started repeating back to me God's word, certain things like, you know, you realize that you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. You've been translated into God's kingdom. You have been, and he just went through various different scriptures. And as I would reach out, and as he would speak that scripture to me, I would reach out and say, and in my mind, I was reaching out, grabbing, it was like a lifeline. I'd say, yes, yes, that's right. He that comes to God, he will in no wise cast out. Yes, yeah, you know what, that's right. You know, and as I would grab onto that and believe it and just receive it, it's like this wave of fear started just dissipating on me. And the more it dissipated, the more I was coming back. I was feeling the word, the strength of the word coming into my heart and into me and lifting me up. And when I got home, I was so overwhelmed at the time. I mean, I was back in the presence of Jesus. And I had felt like I had literally gone to hell, and God pulled me back up. It was just an incredible experience, which nobody, again, in my environment there could understand what I had gone through. And so I had to kind of just sit on it and hold it. But I experienced exactly what you're saying, David. And so I can relate. The only thing I can say is that God must take us through these things to bring this out within us, whatever it is, if it's an anchor of fear that the devil uses in our life or whatever it is. But God takes us through it occasionally. And so, Father, I thank you for David. I thank you the things that you're showing him, the truth of your word, that, Lord, devil cannot touch us. He can try to convince us he can touch us, but he can't do a thing in our life, Lord, unless you are bringing him to us for a reason, for testing, a trial, or whatever it would be. But it's all for your purpose. We're in your hands. No one can take us out of your hand. And so I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the encouragement and the strength and the spirit of life, the truth of your word that you're pouring into David's heart right now. Even now, Lord, I pray you would fill him with the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I thank you for that. Just strengthen him and fill him in Jesus' name. Why I have the mic, I have been under attack myself for the last couple weeks. It's been getting very pronounced here in the last few days. I'm, you know, feeling dizzy and, you know, go to work and constantly it's like a fighting of the fear. I think we must all be under attack here, sorry, because it's all the same theme, fear of life. That's how the devil tries to drive us and attack us and everything. He's got to attack through fear. That's the only thing he can use. So I just ask for prayer from the body as well for me to stand up in the face of whatever opposition is coming my way, whether it is through the environment I'm in, the work environment, the social environment, whatever it is, that the Lord would give me strength to stand confidently trusting in his word, proclaim his truth, and trust him for his salvation in every area of my life, in Jesus' name.
Amen, Lord. We just hook our faith up with Pat in the same vein, Lord, and we thank you that you already started that work in him and almost have already finished it. And Father, we praise you for it, what you're doing in Patrick right now, in Jesus' name, making him that great and mighty man of God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Isaac, go ahead.
Guys, hey,
hey man,
it's good to see you. Hey, David said something that was it called back an old memory, something happened to me when I was 17. Granted, David's got a lot more going on for him than I sure did when I was 17, but I'll tell you, and I'll bring it around to make sense. I was living at my mom's house, and it was like probably 3 a.m. And I just woke up. I was awake, and I was looking outside because I didn't have a curtain. I had a window, but no curtain. And I was looking outside at the street light. And I remember, I don't know what it was, but I remember this foul spirit. Like, it was foul. It entered the room. And I don't know why I felt this presence. But whatever you can think of that's evil, whatever the most evil thing you could, don't think about it, but whatever's evil, this thing condoned it, is what I'm trying to say. Anyways, that's the presence I felt to come in my room. But see, I wasn't a Christian. I kind of just did what I wanted to do, went to church every now and then, went to a little youth group. You know how that was. I don't know if y'all done that, but anyways. And I was always told, oh, he can't do nothing to you. He can't do nothing to you. Well, you're in the world, and he can. He could me. Now, he can't you, David. There's no doubt about that. I know for a fact. But, man, I remember I said, give it your best shot, Satan. You can't do nothing to me. I was so arrogant. Oh, I was an arrogant kid, buddy. I said that, too. And I'm going to tell you what happened to me. And this has given me some of the most faith in my life, though, this situation. And I'm going to say this because I don't take no fear from this. You know, I cast any fear down in the name of Jesus. But there's something so simple here that's the answer. So when I said that, I looked back up streetlight, and the streetlight went black. I got picked up and thrown on my bed. And I'm going to tell you what happened to me. This black surrounding tornado started swirling down in me. I couldn't move, and I was stuck, man. I was stuck. And I couldn't even move my fingertips. The only thing I could move was my eyeballs. And I was, and I felt fear. And I was thinking in my mind, Jesus, 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 because Isaac wasn't so strong no more. Anyways, I just kept on saying it, saying it, saying it, and nothing was happening. And I got the picture of Jesus in my mind. I had this little B.O. picture my mom put in my room, because my mom does really love Jesus. And I start thinking on that picture and just saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, know this. This was coming from a sinner. And I was just saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it's just the power of that name alone. Just the power of that name alone. Not only is it the name, but it's, too, the fact that he lives in you. I mean, that's huge, huge. Nothing can happen. Anyways, I remember just, and once that happened, I remember I was stuck like this. My finger went like this. I mean, I broke up, took off running, ran in my mom's room, jumped in bed with her, and grabbed the Bible and slept all night. And man, that has given me faith my whole life. That situation. And if the name of Jesus can do that for a sinner, man, what can Jesus living in you do? That's the amazing thing. And so that's what happened to me. I tell you that story for that reason, for no fear, but the fact that Jesus is up here and Satan's down here. And that's Jesus who I'm looking at, David, right now. Right in you, man. Anyways, I hope that comforts you. Oh, yeah. One more thing to boot. I had a dream. It was this year. No, I'm sorry. It was in 2020. And God was next to me. I didn't see him though, but he was next to me. And he showed me, it was back in my hometown. There was a fence, like, because a bunch of farmland there, and there was a fence. And inside this fence was this being just walking around, but he was fenced in and he had a cloak on and he was just walking around, but he could not leave or do anything. He was bound within that fence. And I remember Father told me, he said, he can't do anything unless he is loosed. So he can't do anything unless he's loosed. Buddy, he ain't going to be loosed on you. But that's a cool dream that was given to me. So it'll, you know, that to go. But Michael, can I mention one more thing? That's all in that regard, sure. But a little praise report.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. So, man, I was going through a real trial of my faith. And lethargic. I wouldn't have told you while I was going through it, though. But I was lethargic. I hadn't eaten like 4 or 5 days. And, man, had the shakes. Almost bedridden. But Mariana wouldn't let me be. She was making me walk this faith out, making me take her on hikes and stuff. Anyways, but, man, I was going through a real trial. And I was fighting lots of thoughts in my mind. And one night, I could barely walk, and we got a hotel. This was in New Mexico, and I was laying down, and I was just praying, and I was saying, it's not I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. He who the Son set free is free indeed. I'm saying these Bible verses, and I'd get these thoughts. Satan would try to attack me, and if he couldn't attack me with agreeing with an infirmity, then he'd try to attack me in another regard. And he'd try to attack me, but I would just cast him down and cast him down and cast him down. And then he'd try to attack me with a thought of self. Well, after this trial of faith, I'm going to be like this. No, I'm going to cast that down. I'm going to be like Jesus. You know, so I try and be as careful as I can. And so, I'm trying to be as careful. And it's a big battle. It's a huge battle because he can just get you in one regard. You know, I'm speaking on me right now, by the way, guys. It's just testimony. If he can get you in any regard, whether it be for unforgiveness, because I got people at work, man, they literally do cuss me out and stuff. It doesn't bother me, though, because I'm used to it. I've been in this type of trade a long time. But if he can get you in one regard, he can get you on the curse. And I'm casting it down. And I'm casting it down. And then I'm like fighting. I'm like, I need more. So I start praying in tongues, and that's when it dawned on me. I need the spirit of truth that proceedeth from the Father. So I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit. So what is more true than that? That's the spirit of truth that proceedeth from the Father. That's what the word says. And so, man, I just started praying in the Holy Spirit, and just, you know, praying in tongues. And I tell you what, which I did receive at this ministry, by the way, which is a miraculous statement, but we'll say it for another time. But I was praying in tongues, and I think it was Michael was praying, but that prayer, this was like years ago. Anyways, I was praying in tongues, and I'm going to tell you, something just hit me in the mind. Like, it just came to me, just like Jesus opened the disciples' minds to the scriptures, because he did that. Like, it just fell on me, and I don't have a whole lot memorized. I really don't. And it just said, Matthew 3:17. And I said, honey, because I couldn't really see. And I said, honey, would you open up Matthew 3:17? And she did. And it was such a blessing to me, man. I'm going to read it to you. This is what the Lord gave me. And this is what it was. Just, I mean, it was amazing. And it says, and lo, a voice out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And, you know, that really meant a lot to me, because that's that trial of faith right there. And we're going through these things, but I know this, that we're going through them, not just for us, but for many others out there, because we're going into a wilderness before this actual wilderness is coming, because we're going to be ready for it. And so I'm thankful for it, even though it's hard at times. But I just want to say that I'm really thankful. He's given me a lot more good stuff. And you know, I don't know what I'd do without him. I really, really don't.
Great testimony. Thank you, Isaac. That was awesome. Mariana. Keep him up, girl. Keep him up. Keep him going. Yeah. Praise God. That's good. All right, Julie.
I'd like to share just something, and then I want to pray for David and for Patrick and anybody else who, you know, for all of us, really. Something that was coming to me was, you know, the Lord gives us trials. And he gives us trials so we can overcome in them, and that our faith is, we have faith. And God's just showing us when we go through those trials, whether it be fear, anxiety, worry, whatever it is, that he is in us, just as Isaac was saying, he's in you, you know, he's in us. And one of the things that was coming back to my mind is one of the things David has said in one of his teachings somewhere out there was, you know, the only authority the devil has over us is if he can convince you he does, because Jesus has given us authority over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall anywise harm us, or for that matter, make us fear, make us worried or anxiety. So it is up here. And I would just like to pray for everybody, including myself, Lord, as well. We all need this to remind us of who we are in you, Lord. And I thank you for all my brothers and sisters, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the trials that you give us. Oh, Lord, we praise you, God, for the trials, Lord, the proving of our faith, which is more precious than gold, though tried by fire, Lord. And we have to go through these things. And you have put the word in our hearts, Lord. You've written it in our hearts and in our minds. And we are being transformed into your image, Lord Jesus, from glory to glory by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, for an outpouring of your grace, an outpouring of the power of your Holy Spirit, the truth to rise up in us. Lord Jesus, you are our strength. I ask, Father, that you would give all of us, Lord, wisdom from above, discernment when these thoughts come in, when these attacks come against us, Lord, that we you would quicken us, Lord, to remember who we are in you and the authority that you have given to us, and how to fight, how to use the weapons of our warfare, because they're mighty before the throne of God, to casting down these strongholds and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of the truth. Help us, Lord, gird us up in the strength of your word. Help us, Lord, to remember that we are accounted as righteousness before you because of our faith, and that we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have peace with God. Doesn't matter. Our sins are taken away. Satan can't use any of that against us. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for the helmet of salvation. Lord, you cover our heads on the day of battle with the knowledge of the gospel, who we are in you, and that we learn to hold up that shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the enemy, no matter what he throws at us. And Lord, teach us, gird us up, Lord, with the truth. Teach us how to wield that sword mightily with all the strength within us, Lord, to speak it out of our mouths, to pray in the spirit at all times for ourselves and for others, Lord, that we pray unceasingly. And I thank you, Lord, that we have this gift of tongues. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit and be able to pray in tongues because we need it. So, Lord, when we are in these fiery trials and we don't know what else to pray, we can pray in the Holy Spirit and, Lord, and ask you, Lord, help me through this. Help me through this trial. I don't see what's happening here, but you told me not to be afraid, so I'm not. I am bold and I am courageous because you live in me, because greater is he that lives in us than he that is in this world. And we are victorious through Christ Jesus, who loved us. We are more than conquerors, and we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and laying down our old carnal life, Lord, even unto death. And I praise you, Lord, that you strengthen our innermost being, our soul, strengthen our soul with all truth and love and grace. And you're the one that does all of this, Lord. We can't do anything. We need your grace. We need your help. We need your wisdom and strength for everything we go through, every moment. And I pray an outpouring of just encouragement into our hearts and into our minds, because you love us. You gave us everything when you gave us your son. and you took away all that old life that we once walked in and used to think about and how we used to be, Lord. You exchanged it fully, completely. And I thank you and praise you, Lord, for your gift of your son. And I thank you in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'll receive it. I hope everybody in here does too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Da, 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 da. Amen. All right, Angelica, go ahead before I run everybody off with this singing.
Okay, thank you, Jesus. I wanted to share something real quick. I don't know, it's just kind of coming to my memory. But just kind of hearing everyone talk about their trials with, you know, the crud or whatever, it just brought to my this other thing to my memory, and then I'll pray. But I had my one time a dream the Lord had given me. I was just in the Word day and night, reading it, confessing it, living it, walking it out, everything. And one night I had a dream, and I went to sleep, and there was like this. I was in the bathroom. And there is this demon. I mean, I couldn't see the demon, but the demon was there, and the demon had me in a chokehold. And I was like, I was trying to say, Jesus, Jesus, you know, with all my might, you know, Jesus. And it wouldn't come out. It wouldn't come out. But I just kind of like, you know, I was determined. And of course, I've had experiences where, you know, we've all have, you know, we've been attacked in the spirit and, you know, paralyzed or whatever. And you can't get it out, you know, but this isn't a dream. And so finally it was like, I gathered all my strength and I said, Jesus. And it just like came out like power, you know, power. And this thing that had a choke on me was, I didn't see it, but I knew it was a spirit. It just had to go. And so my voice was loosed. And then I went out of the bathroom and my mom was like in the living room. I was in some apartment, like I think it was like a two-story apartment or something. And my mom was like, wow, I heard you from all the way out from out here. And then I kind of, but when I said Jesus, the whole building shook, And when I woke up, I heard the Lord say, homo legeo. And I was like, wait a minute, didn't I just learn this? I said, speak the same as. And I had a season where I just confessed, oh my God, I just, everything I'd learned, I ate it up and I put it to work. So I'd sit there and I'd confess the word over my body. Thank you, Jesus, my God, I'm healed in Jesus' mighty name. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every cell in my body is healed by the stripes, by the blood of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you. I'm not under the curse. I thank you that I have strength. I thank you, Father God, you know, just on and on and on, just confession, just anointed confession. And that's what came to my mind right now. And so I think that I'd like to pray for just an anointed confession over us, especially with all of this crud in the air. I think the same thing that the brother was just talking about, I'm sorry, I forgot his name. David, was it David? Isaac was talking about, you know, I just experienced that too, and others around here. And so I think this is just an attack, probably not just the body of Christ, but everywhere. So, and our only defense is, you know, confession is made unto salvation, you know, and, you know, we have to speak our faith, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so, I think it would be really beneficial at some point, you know, like if we ever got together and everyone brought their scripture and was just confessing it over ourselves and our family, I think that'd be wonderful. But anyway, I'd like to pray. I'd just like to pray and just confess over us and over our families, and I think that would be a blessing. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for bringing this back to my remembrance, Father God. And Lord, I thank you, Father God, for what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross, Lord. It was no little thing, Lord God. And Lord God, we just bless you. We praise you for it, Lord. And I just, oh God, Lord. Father, I ask for an anointing for every single one of us to speak the same as you, to be an oracle for God, Lord God, to be in agreement with you, Lord God, to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, all of our earthly reasoning, Father God, according to the principles of this world, Father God. We cast it down in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord, that might be true for the world, but it's not true for us. And so, Father, I ask you for the grace that we should be able to walk in our kingdom authority and our positions in heavenly places, Father God, and to not shy away from the gift that you've given us, Father God, to freely receive it, Father God, with joy, Lord God, and to speak it, Father God, with and despise the shame or despise anyone rejecting it, Father God, but just to walk in it, Father God, and to just experience your power, your anointing, and your grace, Father God, that comes with speaking life into every situation, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I speak life over every single one of us, Lord God. I speak that the air around us is clean in the name of Jesus. I speak that no weapon, no crud, nothing in the air can come into our lungs, our body, Lord God, that every invader, Lord God, is dead in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I speak death to the spirit of death, Lord God, which you said that you overcame at the cross because you conquered, Lord God, the devil and death, Father God, and every enemy, Father God, that is under the sun, Father God, is defeated in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, that we have authority to trample every serpent and every scorpion spirit, Father God. And I ask you, Father God, for the grace to use the authority that you've given us with boldness, Father God, and to just hammer the enemy, Father God, and not just receive his garbage, Father God, and suffer needlessly, Lord God, that we would take our authority, Lord God, that you've given us and speak life into the situation, Father God, and reject, Father God, every lie from the pit of hell, Father God, that would speak otherwise, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. And I just thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let it be, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for that Passover from all of this crud that's trying to spray on us in Jesus' name. Like Angelica said, we believe, Lord, and we thank you for it. We know we walk in your bubble around this earth in Jesus' name. Nothing formed against us is going to prosper in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's awesome. I believe it. Y'all believe it? If you believe it, you'll walk in it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else? What a wonderful time in our prayer meeting tonight. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Nobody else for prayer or testimony or praise report? Hi, Missy. Go ahead, girl.
I'm trying to remember how long ago it was.
2 days, 3 weeks.
Maybe 3 weeks ago, a couple weeks ago or so. I brought up about my brother-in-law needing a new car, not having, much money or whatever to go towards it. And I think this recent stimulus definitely helped with that. But anyway, my sister was telling me about this and I don't know what happened, but I didn't get to tell her, well, we prayed, blah, 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 And it came to me. I need to tell her this, but she told me that not only did they find a car for Frank, but she first told me about my car for Haley, my niece. They found a car at a good price with low mileage, and that's what Michael prayed, for Frank. But they found a car, good mileage, low mileage, should I say, and a good price. So they found two cars. So I just wanted to tell you about that praise report testimonies. And thank you, Father. And don't let me forget to tell Cindy that, Lord, that's how we had prayed, Because yep. I was really surprised. I'm pretty positive they were I think both cars were fairly were relatively, you could say, old per se, but they, I'm almost sure both of them had less than them. I believe my sister said one of them, I forget which one it was, only had like 75,000 miles on it. And it was like, I don't know. I was like really surprised, you know, at how old they were with the mileage that was on them. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer and supplying, yeah. Lord. Hearing my sister's prayers, you know, because I know she was praying about it too. Amen. So I have to tell her that, and that's how we were praying. And
what kind of car was it?
I don't know.
I can tell you're an automobile aficionado.
I mean, I just, we talked about, I don't know how many different things, so it didn't stick in my head which, what kind of vehicle what they were, but they were both.
Okay, as long as it was good for them, that's great.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Missy. That's a good praise report. Go ahead, David.
I got a praise report. How Monday was a terrible day, especially after that night. But most of what I remember from the night is one prayer. I was like, God, show me heaven. And anyways, I fell back. What I had planned to do Monday on the truck I was fixing, I fell back in time because nothing was just going right. And today I was like, God, how do I get this done in time? I was like, they're expecting me to get this done in 17 hours. Well, they called for 17 hours of labor. And I was like, God, how do I get it done in time? And God showed mercy, and I got it done with 3 hours to spare. And I was like, thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Y'all caught me with my mouth full. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, y'all remember him. Just a minute. Okay, anybody else?
Hey, Michael, I just made brownies. You should try some.
Okay. Send me some.
Is that an interpretation for Michael?
I guess. I don't know.
The lust of the flesh, my friend.
Chuck walnuts.
Amen. Go ahead, Claire.
I didn't really want to speak today, but the Lord won't let this go past. So I just wanted to encourage our brother and everyone else by reminding them about the trial that I had in January where I was struggling to breathe. And I believe that was an attack from the faction because I had mentioned something about needing God for every breath in a previous recording of the outreach. And then within a week, I was struggling to breathe. And so that came to a head where I felt like I was going to go to Jesus. And so I lay down on the bed and said goodbye to Rian and was happy with that. And then I went, but I didn't see Jesus's face. I saw everything else. And he showed me that at the current point in time, I had just a little sailor's hat of glory. And he said to me, you can't come yet. You have to go back because you need to get more glory for the kingdom. And at the time, obviously, who wants to leave, right? The goal is to get there. We go through everything just to get there. And I'm there. And he's like, no, go back. And that was such a trial because I'm like, I don't want to. I don't want to go back. I want to be with you. But I understand what he meant. And I want to encourage everyone that when we are going through these trials, it is to take us out, right? Like, it's to take us out in spirit, it's to take us out physically. That's the enemy. He doesn't want Jesus to survive. He doesn't want Jesus in us to survive. But that when we endure, we are gaining glory, and that glory is the fruit that manifests. And it's just such a such a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And I feel like my testimony is not just for me, it's for everyone. It's to say all of us here are destined for more glory for the kingdom. So the enemy can suck it, because we're not going anywhere. We have a job to do, and we are going to endure till the end. And it's not the end of this physical earth suit. So I'm blessing everyone in the name of Jesus with endurance and with absolute trust and confidence that you are chosen and loved and redeemed, and you're not going to be taken out by someone who was taken out 2,000 years ago. Amen.
You go, girl. That's great. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, I wished I had that
fire.
No. That thing back there hanging up. That horn. Shofar. Shofar. God, thank you, Lord. My memory's already restored in Jesus' name.
No, you don't have a Biden moment.
I cast that curse plumb to the ground in Jesus' name, and the man who spoke it. No, Malcolm.
Hey, that's awesome. That was the great thing, Claire. It was. But I am interested in John 14 through 17, where Jesus is talking about the glory and having to do with the suffering. I'm just intrigued by that, and I'd be interested in your thoughts about what Jesus is talking about, and also what Claire's talking about, what that glory, what's going on there.
You talking about the trial she went through?
Well, the fact that Jesus sent her back to get more glory, but then also, what does Jesus mean when he's talking about the glory? That, for instance, the Father said, I've glorified you already, and I will glorify you. I forget exactly what God said in that point. It previously to what the Father said to Jesus, but there in chapters 14 through 17, Jesus is talking to his disciples about the glory, and especially in, I guess I'm referring specifically to chapter 17, where Jesus is praying to the Father about the glory there. I'm just looking it up. Glorify your Son in order that your Son may glorify you. So he's talking quite a bit there. I have glorified you on earth by completing the work you've given me to do. That's verse 4. And now, Father, you glorify me at your side with the glory that I had at your side before the world existed. This is Lexham translation. But, you know, just translation doesn't really matter. I'm just trying to ask what you folks think about. What is Jesus talking about? I have been glorified in them. This glory, what is this? What is he talking about?
We ought to have a subject for tonight, Malcolm. You write that down, and we'll bring it up again sometime.
Oh, no, Claire brought it up. Oh, goodness.
Malcolm, did you hear Claire's testimony? What was it, about a week or so ago, Claire? Maybe 2 weeks ago.
Last month, maybe.
Yeah, maybe last month.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was pretty earth shattering. It's like, yeah. I thought, great Scott, you know, we're going to lose Claire. I mean, this is pretty serious.
Oh, my. That shows you how big your head was, huh, Claire? Is that what you're saying?
God always comes before the fall, Michael. God always comes before the fall.
I couldn't pass it up. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Patrick.
So I have a question actually to Claire. The only thing I can relate to is when early on in my life, the Lord was teaching me something about finances. I wasn't necessarily finances, but it's probably stewardship and that whole thing. And this is directly after I became a Christian. I went through a very trying time. And basically, the Lord took me down where my vehicle was repossessed and I lost my house and I went down the tubes, basically, is the bottom line. And it was all because of my financial disregard of stewardship and the whole thing. It's a whole nother story that I don't really want to get into right now. But through the process, I was in full communication with the Lord all the way, and He took me through the process where we both went down the tubes and I hit rock bottom. And on the way down, there was all these fears that I had to deal with. The fear of loss. What am I going to do? What do people think? And here I was a Christian. I was going through this process, yet I was basically going bankrupt and going through the process it was somewhat demoralizing, humbling. It was a recognition through this process that, you know, I was praying and I was, on one hand, I was walking with the Lord and really enjoying fellowship and everything, but I was in violation of many of His principles of life, which bring forth blessing. And it was a contradiction there, of course. And anyway, I went down the tubes and I experienced a very traumatic fear of hitting bottom. And again, I say I was in complete fellowship with the Lord as I was going down that path. And the interesting thing is when I finally hit bottom, my car got repossessed, I got evicted from my home, and I hit bottom. And I realized when I was at the bottom how at peace I was, because I realized I can't, this sounds a little strange, I can't fall any farther. I can't go any lower. And there was a complete rest or trust in that point, in that place, where the Lord seemed to strip out that fear of failing, that fear of hitting the bottom. And I realized that anywhere from here, it's all upward. As I toss everything away and just look to the Lord. Well, there was a sense of peace that came through there. And I wonder if that's the same thing that you experienced, Claire, as you were going into that, because obviously I was going into bankruptcy. It sounds like you were really going into more of death. And so there had to be the same, I'm assume the same release of fear and finally resting in the hands of the Lord. So I just wanted to share that, ask that. Maybe you have a little enlightenment in that area.
I can perhaps just tell you my experience with fear, and then that might answer your question. I've been, the devil's been trying to take me out for a long time, since shortly after I was born. So I've had interesting experiences throughout my life. My mom hung me out like Michael Jackson did to his baby blanket. I was almost on a, this is just weird. I'm actually not going to tell you that because I don't know who's listening. There's lots of things that have happened to me. And when I became a mom, shortly after I became a mom, my first experience was not great. And I was racked with fear. I had a seizure. And then about maybe 4 or 5 months later, I actually saw the fear demon in my house. And he walked into our bedroom at about, oh, maybe 9:30 in the evening. And I said to Rian, he's here. And Rian opened the Bible and flipped open to Lamentations of all places and started going, woe is me, woe is me. And I said, no, I don't accept that. Like, we're not reading Lamentations now. We are reading Victory. And we flipped the Bible open somewhere else. And the Lord just gave us like a victory verse. I don't remember what that was, but this thing left. And so I haven't had a day of fear since then. Like, I don't fear. I don't, just the thing that grosses me out a little bit is a worm. I'm not a fan of worms, but even snakes, they don't scare me. Like, I'm not so, and that's weird because I used to be afraid of the dark as a kid and just really fearful. So I believe that the Lord took that fear away from me very early on because he knows obviously what I have to deal with in the future. And when I was going through this breathing trial, there were points where I felt really anxious because I could not get air in. Like, I just could, there was nothing going in, and yet I was alive. So I was calm in a very impossible situation. And when I went into that mode, when I had the vision or the dream or whatever it was on the bed, I asked Rian, I said, did I stop breathing? Like, what happened? And he's like, no, your body was moving as though it was breathing. He's like, but I could see it was very labored. And so I can tell you that for me, I feel like I have lost my life. I live in a rainforest and I homeschool my children. Like, I don't have any semblance of what I thought my life would be like coming to the Lord. You know, I'm not Gladys Ulwood. I'm not Elizabeth Fry. Like, there's none of these great shakes in my life. So I feel like I'm already at this place of complete weakness, really. I don't have the responsibility that Rian has, where he feels like he maybe need, well, I don't think he feels like he needs to provide. I think he's absolutely at peace with the fact that the Lord's got him where he needs him so that the Lord can provide. But I don't have the feelings that you have. I would not know how to deal with that kind of stuff, Pat. But all I can say is that fear is the enemy. And yes, I do believe that when we are humbled, there is nothing left except peace, because that's what humility brings. It brings that absolute peace. And so I don't know if I've been rambling. I'm sorry if I went over into any kind of teaching. It wasn't my intention. I did ask Rian if I could chat today, and he, well, not like ask Rian if I could chat, that sounds weird, but you know what I mean. Like, I texted him and he said he's off to a meeting now, but he would love it if I shared this. So I don't know if that helps you, Pat, or if I've just confused everyone, but bless you, brother. And I'm so glad you found that peace, because that is the peace that surpasses understanding. Praise God.
Thank you.
That was awesome, Claire. You deserve a big crown. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Adelina. Hey, sweetie. Yeah. There are many kinds of fears and phobias, but our weaknesses need to be exposed and confessed to Father. He delivers from them. Amen. What is this here? That's Dave Nelson. Hey, Dave. What's up, brother? Good to see you could join us.
Yeah, I finally decided to wake up and realize, oh, it's a conference call.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, I see Lana's here too, or Phil, or both. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyone else got a? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I got a confession. On Saturday, me and Nora walked the dogs, and we met this guy on the road. He asked for money and some food. My first thought was, we mustn't show him where we live, otherwise he's going to visit us most all the time. And then I bring him some food and some clothes, and he's on his way. But what irritates me, or I can't seem to see what the word is I didn't talk about the Lord to him. I just gave him food and let him on his way. And I was so disgusted with myself. I'm just thinking of myself. It's so much self. It was bad. I confess it to the Lord, but I just don't want to confess it to the body. I don't know why I did it, but I'm sure the Lord's got a meaning for it to teach me to where I'm thinking. Maybe it's just myself. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Hey, Joe. In my last, I guess, I don't know, 7-8 years, I was tried a lot with feeling like I had to give to everybody, or feeling I had to share the gospel with every poor person I met or whatever. And the Lord had delivered me out of some things. Like I took, you know, that word, you know, literally, it's like, give to everyone who begs of you. I'm like, okay, you know how, right? You know, there comes time where it's like, you know, God delivered me from that. Like, I can't give to everybody. There's just no way. And I saw a lot of poverty. I saw a lot of people who had hurt and a lot of needs, and we can't meet them all. And even spiritually, I can't always know that every person God brought across my path, that I even somebody I helped out, you know, gave them money or gave them, you know, something, bought them food or whatever. I couldn't always pray for them. I wasn't always moved to. I mean, there were times where I knew I was supposed to help somebody and pray for somebody or talk to them about the Lord. And then there were other times where it just wasn't there, you know? And you can't just feel like you have to do that all the time. So don't condemn yourself because you didn't share about Jesus. You did what was on your heart to do. And I believe the Lord puts it on our heart what he wants us to do. If he had opened up a door for you, you would have known that you were supposed to speak to him about the Lord in some way. Because he does that. But you did what you thought you were supposed to do. And then the enemy came back later and said, oh, you didn't talk to him about Jesus. Bad boy, you're in trouble. You know, he's always condemning us. He's always accusing us what we didn't do. You know, so you have to check your own heart with the Lord. If you did what you felt you did was right, then you didn't do anything wrong. You know, you blessed him. You gave him food and clothing and stuff. You gave him what he needed. Isn't that what he was asking for? And one of the things that I've done too, is like, I can't help these people, but I can pray for them. You know, I pray for them after I've met them or I've seen them. I saw what their need was and I couldn't meet it. It's like, Lord, help them. You know, I would just pray for them. I would pray in the spirit for them. I would just pray God's blessing. Lord, bring someone into his life who he needs right now, because it wasn't me. Anyhow, I just don't let the enemy accuse you and then condemn you of something that you know, you did right. You didn't do anything wrong. I hope that helps you, you know, you know, because he's always accusing us of what we didn't do. Which, yeah, he'll accuse you of stuff like that. You didn't preach the gospel, Joe. Why not? You know, at least that's how I have learned to overcome a lot of that. It's just, you know, we can't be what we can't be. And God opens the door when he wants us to speak or to minister. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Geneva.
Julie said something made me think. Me and Marissa was talking about it. You know, these people, they're so much better off in God's hands than in ours. And I think about that sometimes with Morgan when I'm like, and I'm like, no, Lord. Like, he's so much better off in your hands than mine. And if you're going to convict him, I know you'll do it. And he always does. He always brings him around. And I'm just like, glory goes to you, Lord, because it's not my place anyways. You're the father and you're the foundation. And then it's Morgan. And I take total and complete faith in that, as well as just with other people, you know, like in my field too. I feel like there's a lot of times I come across a lot of things that I want to say something, and sometimes I do, but it kind of goes back to like, I guess letting the Lord, having complete and total faith and knowing that if God is going to want you to, then he's going to put that on your heart and you're going to have the faith to know what to say. And God's going to bless you with the words to speak in that hour, like the word says. So, you know, give it to Jesus. You can never go wrong. So just wanted to say that.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for you, Joe. In the name of Jesus, I command this spirit of condemnation off of him. You go from him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for leading him by the Spirit to do whatever it is that you want him to do, Lord, and not by self and not by the devil. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for my friend Jim. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Anybody else? Yes, Claire, go ahead.
My beloved has a prayer request. If I'll pray for him and if you can all agree. Father, I just lift Rian up to you right now, Lord, and I command this attack of headache and fatigue off of him in the name of Jesus. All who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God, and I proclaim that for my sweet husband, Rian. Lord, he is hydrated with your living water. He is chewing on your word. He is completely satisfied and well-nourished in everything that your book says, Lord. Thank you for growing his spirit, man, and thank you for pouring the Holy Spirit out on him, and we rebuke any attack from the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing whatever, all that Claire prayed. In Jesus' name, Rayon, you be healed, delivered, and set free, brother. Thank you, Lord, for filling him up with your Holy Spirit, and he's full of joy now and love. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Go ahead, Judy.
I'm just wondering if maybe we need to pray, do some warfare. I just think that there's some things happening against the body right now. There's no coincidence he's getting hit with something after Claire just shared some awesome, you know, revelations and stuff. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, your power, your grace, your strength, your anointing, your covering. And we just come against every evil work and assignment against the body of Christ right now in this fellowship. In Jesus' name, we break your power off of us in the name of Jesus. Every evil work and assignment, formed, fashioned, thought against us, we cast it down in the name of Jesus. And we come against all witchcraft and all of its forms, all faction and all of its assignments against us to hinder us in any way, to attack us in any way. And we break it off of us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lamb that we are all covered in and walk under, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We do. We break the power of Satan off of everybody in this fellowship and those that are listening too. In Jesus' name, right now, cast it all down as null and void. Yeah, Isaac.
Sorry, I was agreeing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good.
But I'll say something now.
Okay. All right, go ahead, brother.
This is something that the Lord gave me, a dream. It was probably October. We were commissioning a FedEx anyways. And, I had a dream this night, and in this dream, I didn't really know what it meant yet, but I'll get there. So I had this dream. There was like this, I was walking on these pebble roads, and I guess I've never been to Jerusalem, but I'm going to call it Jerusalem or Israel, whatever. Anyways, so as I was walking, I looked up and I seen this cross, but there was this red demon on this cross, but he was like a really wild looking red demon, and he was nailed on it, and he had the crowns of thorns on his head. And I remember me and this man grabbed this cross and we put it up in the tomb. And I woke up, and for some reason I took it negative. Like I say, this is back in October, I think. But I took it negative. I was like, what did I do something wrong here? Like, what why was there a demon on the cross? I don't know why I was so ignorant to even think that. But it dawned on me that day, because here's what happened. So I had that dream that night. I was at work. My boss comes to me. This is the next morning, obviously. He comes to me and he said, "Hey, Isaac." And I said, "Yeah." He goes, and he's 100 miles away. So he drove up to come get me. He goes, "You need to leave site." I said, "Why? What's going on?" He goes, "Because your coworker was just with a guy who got COVID at the other FedEx, and you've been working with him the last few days." He goes, "So they went out to a bar together, and now he's got COVID." And I said, "Oh, okay." And so I had to leave site. Anyways, and later on, that's when it dawned on me. That was the curse that was nailed on the cross. The curse was nailed on the cross, you know? That was the curse, like David said, those crown of thorns. You know, Jesus bore that curse, man. And so that was just an amazing thing that the Lord showed me. I had to get tested to go back. I'll try not to get tested by no means possible. Like, I don't even want to be, I don't care about seeing any of that stuff. But my boss said, "Hey, you can't come back to FedEx facility unless you get tested." I said, "Fine, whatever you need me to do." Anyways, well, I went and got tested. And I remember the nurse was bringing up my track history. Now, apparently, like, 4 years ago, you know, 4 years ago, I was in sin, but I was going to a doctor for yearly checkups for insurance deductions. And he told me, he said, "You know, Isaac, you have an autoimmune disorder, and it's something called ITP. I don't know what that means. I haven't taken it very seriously. Thank God. Anyways, he goes, "It's like a low platelet count. I don't know. Don't really care. The thing is, I don't have it. I know I don't have it." But when I was talking to that nurse who was giving me that COVID check this go around in October, she was bringing it up, and the Lord told me, he spoke to me, "Don't ask her nothing." And I didn't do it. And so thank God for that. But I'm just saying this, the curse has been bore on the cross, man. And I thank God for that.
Amen and amen. That was a good testimony. Put that curse on the cross. Glory to God. Thank you, Missy. Go ahead.
What came to me was the serpent on the pole.
Okay. Yeah.
The serpent on the pole.
Amen.
So Satan is the serpent, and that represents that serpent on the pole represented Jesus on the cross. He bore the cross for us. He the curse awesome. For us. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. All right, Malcolm, go ahead, brother. Malcolm, you muted yourself. It's hard for us to hear.
Was that? Does that mean I was unmuted for 20, 30 minutes? I hope not. Anyway, because I just unmuted myself, but I toggled to be muted. That's weird. That's scary. What did I say? Okay.
Well, we've got it recorded. Never in mind.
That's a scary thought. I was, I'm very intrigued. I've been very intrigued for, you know, years. What does it mean that Jesus was made sin for us? And for Moses to put a serpent up on a pole way back then when people tended to worship things, I'm sure it raised some questions in Moses' mind as the Lord instructed him to do that. But it's very intriguing that the people were told to look and live. Look and live, look and live. That's how you survive being, as David would say, David's dad would say, snake bit. It's just very intriguing that Jesus was made sin for us. There's a lot of depth to that. And what does that mean? And I've been looking at that because, you know, especially when we get older, we have different things we want to see. We want to see manifested the healing that, you know, Jesus' stripes accomplished for us. And so it's just interesting to think about the stripes of Jesus and the long furrows that, you know, the plowers, they plowed upon my back. And, you know, all of that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. It's just interesting that all through the Old Testament, there are these little clues that Jesus knew where he was headed, you know, before he came and became a man. He knew that, and he kept dropping hints like the Abraham and serpent on the pole and goodness, the Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the different places where he prophesied his coming. And so when you think about it, being slain from the foundation of the world, certainly Jesus was, you know, before he was Jesus, you know, when he was in glory with the Father, he was anticipating what he was going to go through for us. And it talked at length through, you know, David, King David, and others of the suffering that he would go through for us, and that great transaction of being made the curse, being made a demon, being made a terrible thing to be detested for us. So we don't want to waste that sacrifice, and we want to stand on those promises that God's given us and not be swayed by unbelief and discouragement or, you know, looking at what is rather than what is not, as Paul talks about, which is what Jesus accomplished for us. We accept that by faith.
Amen, Malcolm. All right. Angelica, did you have your hand up?
I'm sorry, I was just an accident.
Oh, okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah. Well, what
came
up?
We didn't stay on topic, Michael.
I know.
Well, I was going to ask if I could read this, because I think it was Malcolm earlier that was asking about the glory of God. And I got reminded of a poem that the Lord had given me, and if I could read that.
Well, sure. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Angelica Garza with her poem.
Oh, gosh. Now I don't want to read it. Anyway, it's just a poem on God's glory that God gave me, and so I just wanted to share it. It's called Glory, and I might have read it before, I don't know, but anyway, it's glory to glory, faith to faith, righteousness revealed, an unveiled face, body celestial, his glory divine, sun, moon, and stars, Zion to climb, servant to son, things that be not, water to wine, fill the pot. Join heirs indeed, progressively run. Follow the pattern, it's already done. His manifested glory is also mine. I'm sorry, I think it's, I might have missed that line there, but because I was just copying it over from the blog, but I think it's his glory divine, his manifested glory is also mine. So, it was just something the Lord really impressed upon me about the glory of God, because it's ours. We're sharers in that glory, because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, and so it's all of those things. So anyway, do you want to share?
Amen. That was good. Thank you so much. Would you mind doing a favor, and can you post it in the chat?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. All right. Now, is that everybody? Because we have a new subject to go through tonight. With this 6 minutes we got left, we're going to hit it thoroughly, too. This has been a great night. I enjoyed it. I have. I really enjoyed it. I think everybody has too. It's been a wonderful evening of testimonies and praise reports and prayer, and been awesome. Thank you, Father. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to just discuss for a few minutes? Greg, do you have any words of wisdom you'd like to share?
Actually, no. But Dave, I just want to check with Dave. Is that a shirt you've got on? Or is it, because it looks a bit skin toned. It's like you haven't got one on my screen. Thank you.
Okay.
I do have some wisdom, but you're not ready for it yet.
Touché. Let me write that down. Awesome. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share for a few minutes here? What we had planned on talking about tonight, but, you know, as always, we always allow the Holy Spirit to take over and lead us into where he wants us to go. And it's been an awesome night. Thank you, Lord. But what is this? Is this Thursday night? Or this is Tuesday, isn't it? This is Tuesday. Okay, for Thursday night, we'll just move it on to Thursday night. And that's the biggest obstacle that hinders most people's walk in the Lord. The biggest obstacle that hinders most people's walk with the Lord. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about. Now, it shouldn't take but just a few minutes to get that one out.
That's easy. That one's easy.
Oh, it's easy. Okay, we'll see. Yeah, but we've got some questions. Huh? I don't care. Go ahead. Yeah.
I think it would be lack of faith, unbelief. At the time of testing.
Wrong answer. No, it could be, Barbara. It could be. Depending on where you are, you know. But we're going to wait till Thursday night to reveal what I believe is our biggest hindrance if nobody gets it, but a couple of people already got it. Also, Missy got it last week. Okay. What about a song? What do you mean? Zippity doo da, zippity a. My oh my, what a wonderful day. How's that, Joe?
That's not bad.
Not bad.
What movie was
okay,
that from?
You're so gracious.
You see what happens when the weather is above 75 degrees.
I know, it just brings the best of us out, don't it? Amen. That came from 1946 film of Walt Disney's. I can't think of the name of it right now. Yeah, Pat.
I would like to just read a scripture.
Sure.
I was talking to this gentleman, the security guard at work, and the subject drifted. He seems to be focused on going to heaven. Not that that's bad, but going to heaven and the concept of it being eternity, being so long, and it's motivating him to speak. You know, when he talks to people, to basically take it from the point of view that, you know, hell is going to be for a long, long, long time, you know. And he's getting kickback, a lot of kickback, basically because people don't believe him. And so they can't wrap their mind around that concept. But anyway, so I shared with him this verse that the Lord had given me a couple of weeks ago. And I'm not sure how the connection is here, but it says, Jesus said in John 14:1, let your heart not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, you know what? Excuse me just a second. I'm going to flip over to the numeric on this. In the house of my Father are many abodes. If not, I would have told you, for I am going to prepare you a place. And if I go and prepare you a place, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye be also. And the thing that the Lord impressed on me in the reading of this, and I'm sure that it's not, not grammatically correct or whatever. Maybe it was an emphasis on the word itself, the structure of the sentence. But he impressed it on me was, I am going to prepare you a place. And of course, the first thing that we think about is that Jesus is going, and he's going to heaven, and he's going to build this structure in heaven for you. And then he's going to get it all prepared for you, and then he's going to come and bring you into that really nice place, and you're going to live there. Which obviously is true, but the thing that he was hitting me with is that I am going to leave you. I'm leaving you. I'm not going to be present here, and I'm going to depart And in that process, there is going to be a development or a development of the dependency upon his word, upon the truth of his word, without sensing or feeling or having the benefit of this close feeling with him, shall we say. But in that going, he is preparing a place within us. He's preparing us to be that place where he and the Father can comfortably come and rest and make their abode in us. And if you look at the end of that verse, he talks about the end of that section. He talks about the Holy Spirit and the giving of the Holy Spirit. And he said, and if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth ye know him, for he abides with you and is in you. So there's that aspect that the Lord is creating an environment within us, creating a place where he can come, he and the Father can abide in peaceful relaxation within us, his people. So anyway, that was, I just wanted to throw that out.
Okay, thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Geneva.
Oh, sorry, I forgot I left my hand up. I was just going to say, I added a song. I don't know, I thought maybe it'd be a good way to whatever, because everything we were talking about seemed pretty prevalent to this song. But if y'all want to listen on your own time, or if you want to play it, whatever you want to do is fine, because I know we're at 10 o'clock now. So whatever you guys want to do.
Okay, let me just get it up there right quick, and we'll just listen to it. Sounds good to me. Can y'all hear it?
could say you. There just ain't one.
There just ain't one.
There just ain't one.
There just ain't one.
Although they've set a snare, a trap, I want you to know it won't work. Ooh, no, no, no.
There just ain't one.
And it won't.
There just ain't one.
Amen. That was a good one. Let me shut this down. All right. That was a good one, Geneva. Thank you so much. All right. Lord, we just thank you for another spirit-led night, and it has been. Thank you for all the wonderful testimonies. And Lord, we thank you that every prayer is answered. We believe it by faith, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, be with us. Give us a good night's sleep tonight, Lord. Wake us up in the morning, dying to self, and allow Jesus to come alive. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Good night, y'all. Glory to God. It's been an awesome night. I enjoyed it.